We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, as always, is Vinny Duber, the CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Duber. And Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Ecknerwall23. He's the CHGO White Sox community leader. The White Sox win two games today in a doubleheader versus the Yankees. And it all starts with TA, a very interesting series. It was supposed to be, you know, kind of a benchmark. Where do the White Sox play, you know, against the big dogs in the AL after seeing the Yankees come to Chicago and lay the whoop down on you. It's a series that I think now White Sox fans really don't care about that, and they just are focusing on Tim Anderson, proving that he is one of, if not the best shortstops in Major League Baseball. Excited to talk about the doubleheader today with my guys. And guys, let's start with Tim Anderson, three hits today and the all-important home run to give the White Sox a 5-0 lead in game two. What do you think about this whole, you know, mishap that started with him and Josh Donaldson and then the explosion that he had today?
Well, I think where people are misconstruing everything, I think Tim and Yasmani said it was disrespectful, the whole situation with him, Josh Donaldson. Where everybody who wanted to take it the other way got it misconstrued was Tony La Russa said he thought it was racist. I am not the person, so I don't know if Tim thought it was. But Tim in his comments didn't say it as such. He thought it was disrespectful to be called Jackie. But I've already expressed to you and Vinny that anytime Tim Anderson, real, slight, perceived slight, whatever it is, he plays his best baseball after that, no matter what. The Ozzie Guillen thing where Ozzie was talking in the post game, hey, you shouldn't be resting. Tim Anderson, he's 28, goes out and has a great game the next time. The best overall game he had, I believe, I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday versus Kansas City Royals after that kerfuffle with Ozzie. And then the little dust up with Josh Donaldson, who we all know, that guy's a dick. No one likes him. No matter what context you say that word, Jackie, that's calling him out of his name. You're not his friend. So Josh Donaldson was wrong no matter what. It's disrespectful. And Tim took it as such. And then you see what the man did today. Three hits and then the shut the fuck up home run right there to seal the win for the White Sox. That's what a champion does. That little bobblehead right in front of me, that's where he threw the bat after the disrespect was happening to him before. That man steps up to the plate. He might be like Jordan, and I know people are going to be pissed about that because he compared himself to Jackie. I'm comparing him to Jordan because Jordan used to take slights, whatever he thought they were, even if he had to make them up, and then he had to play his best baseball after or best basketball after, and I feel that that's what Tim Anderson does. You saw tonight's game. Tim Anderson is that dude, and I love for him. I love him talking that smack, shutting the crowd up. It's a it build up to a crescendo. When the Tim Anderson movie's made, this will be part of it. This day will be part of it. Remember it.
Well, and it's not just that, too, but it's a guy who thrives on the biggest of stages. I mean, I think this home run tonight felt a little bit like last summer in Iowa, didn't it? I mean, it wasn't obviously the game-winning walk-off play, and, you know, you didn't get the huge celebration at home or the just memorable moment, the memorable visuals to go along with it. But guy's playing on national TV in Yankee Stadium, and he goes for three hits and a gigantic three-run homer in the eighth inning. Forget about a second about the slights, you know, because they could be facing off against the Los Angeles Dodgers in late October, and the Los Angeles Dodgers could be nothing but complimentary to the guy. But you turn the lights on real bright, and he thrives then, too. It's mm-hmm. not a situation where it's necessarily one or the other, or it has to be both. I mean, the guy comes to play, and listen, you don't need a slight, you don't need a big stage to hit 359, which is what he's doing right now. You could be playing on a Thursday afternoon in Kansas City. You're going to get your hits. He's hitting 359. He's been the best player on this team all year long, certainly on the position player's side. And you saw it tonight. I mean, he's not the guy who got the game-winning hit. He's not the guy that pitched his ass off like Michael Kopech did. But what are we doing? We're sitting here talking about TA. He is the face of this team, as we've said 800,000 times. And you know what? He's one of the faces of baseball, whether people want to agree with it or not.
Well, and the thing with him, too, is, like, he didn't ask to be put in this situation. Right. And he's kind of said that. You know, on Saturday after this whole thing with Donaldson happened, when the disrespect happened, he said, you know, I wasn't out there bothering anybody. It's like Tim Anderson's just showing up trying to do his job. And somehow, some way, it just feels like everyone tries to put something in the way of him from doing his job. And it just feels like every time he's able to overcome that, his ability to rise to the occasion, whether it be the postseason, he's been their best hitter in each postseason series that they've been in. Whether it is, you know, the big Field of Dreams game, he rises to the occasion there. And what I feel like is probably one of the biggest games the Sox have played that's, you know, a non-postseason game that's not in Iowa right now, just because the fans were so focused in and keyed in on this Yankee series, and then having the Donaldson comments just inflame that even more, and then it become more about the game, and it become more about, you know, beating a Yankees team, you know, in this American League to try to prove yourself. It's more just proving yourself to somebody else because they slighted you. Tim Anderson just has a knack for this kind of stuff, and it's really impressive to see.
And I think this is kind of like a galvanizing moment for the White Sox. We saw Tony say his words during the game today, saying, like, this guy's a champion. This guy loves his heritage, loves his team, and he shows it every day. I look back to the 2000 team where it's kind of a middling, and then they got in that fight with Detroit. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to get in the fight, but that was kind of a galvanizing moment. Hey, we got each other's backs no matter what happens, even though they probably got beat up that game. Went on to win the AL Central. Maybe the White Sox needed this to wake them up. It seemed like the White Sox and the Yankees after this, and Vinny said it, like, they just seemed like they were just sleepwalking today, the whole game. And the White Sox felt a little bit better, you know, having the same offensive woes, but then clutch hits, a lot of hits today. What, 14 hits in that second game? They really woke up. And they came together. Pitching was always outstanding, and the hitting got a little bit more clutch as we got to the end of the game. And we'll get to one specific guy a little bit later. I know you made a chart about that, Sean, but this might be a galvanizing moment. This might be a time where we look back in October. It's like, you remember that game versus the Yankees in May? Those were the times that the White Sox started playing their best baseball, and they jumped up from there.
Well, and whether it's because of what happened with Josh Donaldson or not, you can point to it as that – them finally putting it together. I mean, for a while there in game two, for the vast majority of game two of this doubleheader, it looked like it was going to be what we've seen from the White Sox over and over again, which was very good starting pitching performance, and the offense is just nowhere to be found in the run column at the very least. But then they come through with the clutch hits of the eighth inning there. Very clutch home run by A.J. Pollock in game one. You know, This is the kind of thing that wins you championships, right? Pitching, defense, and clutch hitting. There's a reason that it's clutch hitting and not just hitting all the time, because it's a very situational game. But you know, the for this being a season turning point, you obviously got to wait and see. We had those quotes from Rick Hahn on the day of the home opener that, you know, some series against the Yankees in May doesn't mean anything if you're not doing it at the end of September and into October, which is very true. A whole mess of baseball left to be played, obviously, for this team and every other one. But for a team that's been really kind of failing to get up off the runway a little bit, this is a heck of a day for the Southsiders.
Yeah, and you kind of just see them put it all together, I think, like you guys said. I mean, you see the explosion in the eighth inning. They had a lot of guys on base, and that was the one painful stat that I heard. 1-for-12 before you saw Andrew Vaughn and Tim Anderson and Reese McGuire come in clutch with some RBIs to drive in the five runs the Sox had today. But 1-for-12 with runners in scoring position, it just felt like, oh, here we go again. But this is a great resolve from the Sox to continue to have good at-bats time and time again, inning after inning, and maybe, you know, have frustrating ends to each of those innings, but to stick with it, to stick with the plan, and finally break through in the eighth inning. And after this great Michael Kopech performance, we got 182 people in here for a reason, because Michael Kopech had 15 up and 15 down. Tim Anderson was lighting it up like a superstar. But the Kopech thing, that's a real thing, Herb. I mean, we kind of debated in his last start. You know, Kopech struggled, you know, Kopech, even though the results were good, I felt that, you know, he showed some worrisome signs. Today, there's no worries about Michael Kopech. That looked like a legit starting pitcher. They talked about him being a project coming out of the bullpen for the Chicago White Sox and him now becoming a starter. That looked like the closest that we've seen Michael Kopech look like a starter in a White Sox uniform, and it was incredibly impressive. I heard Vinny, or you maybe allude to say Vinny, felt the White Yankees might have been asleep tonight. I thought that was just Michael Kopech dominating. I don't know how you guys felt.
Yeah, he dominated. And remember the last start, he was last Sunday versus the Yankees. He had a troublesome second inning where we saw kind of it in the seventh inning this game. He lost his command and he walked in two runners and gave up some runs. And then after that, 13 straight Yankees to end his start. That's why I said that was impressive. You lost your command, you lost the control of your ball, and then you went down and killed the Yankees after a team that had murdered one of your top pitchers and Dylan Cease two days before that with six earned runs. That was a learning point for him, and he knew that his stuff plays if he can get the ball over the plate. He knew the Yankees couldn't touch him, and that's what happened today. Mike Kopech introduced himself to a national audience. Maybe people didn't know who he was, but now they do. They understood that he just sat down the New York Yankees pretty much for 5 or 6 2/3. He was dominant today, absolutely dominant. He wasn't getting the strikeout pitches as much as he usually does, but the Yankees couldn't touch him. I remember Vinny and I were watching the game, and the center fielder, Florial, just couldn't fuck with his 98. It was 98, 98. Then Michael kind of, you know, threw a 98 kind of low, and I was like, no, you've already just seen him two times throw a 98 up top for his last pitch, 98 up top by Florial. Like, when you got that type of confidence, knowing people cannot see you, it must feel great. And that's what Michael Kopech has. When he's on his game, he has stuff that people cannot see. Because even when they do touch it, it's not even balls in play is average. I think it's got to be in sub-150. So even when they do hit it, it's soft contact and it's not getting anywhere for a hit. So Michael Kopech, he's gotten up there. And we got embarrassment of wealth up that there at the starting pitchers. Like, we're getting Lance Lynn back. Giolito's awesome. Cease is great. Johnny Cueto? I was wrong. And I remember, I remember you were on the show. You're like, hey, man, we're getting Johnny Cueto. I was like, man, Johnny Cueto's garbage. I apologize, Johnny Cueto. You're much better than I thought. The two-time All-Star is here in Chicago. Mercy.
Hey, whoa. I mean, let's calm down a little bit. I got real worried when they started bringing out the Gatorade to Johnny Cueto.
That's all he needed, man. Some electrolytes.
Yeah, he just needed a little bit of electrolytes to get through that one. And it, you know, feels really good, especially after Dallas Keuchel and Vince Velasquez's last outings. Those didn't really instill a ton of faith into you, but Michael Kopech looks good. Johnny Cueto looks good. Dylan Cease looks good. Lucas Giolito looks good. Lance Lynn's coming back soon. So a lot of faith is being instilled into me in this White Sox team. Let's talk about this, because right now the White Sox have gone up above.
Yes. Sean, do you see we got some shekels?
Oh, no, I do not.
Oh, our guy Eli Stein's in the house from Israel.
Look at him. He's up and excited, celebrating the win. Eli dropping a shekel bomb.
17.90? Is that like, what is that again? That was like $10?
Yeah, I think he gave us 10 bucks.
My man, Eli.
So shout out to Eli.
I love shekels.
I forget where I was going, Herb.
Sorry.
You got me on a roll.
It was Michael Kopech.
You're talking all about this pitching staff, and you're right to do so. I think we should get to Johnny Cueto because he was excellent again. But I'll tell you just this. Sean, you said that Michael Kopech you thought looked like a starting pitcher today. He's looked like a starting pitcher. You know what he looked like today is Michael Kopech. And he looked like the guy that everybody thought that the White Sox were getting when they got him in that trade with for Chris Sale. He looks like the guy that had been hyped up as the top pitching prospect in baseball, the guy that they've been waiting for 2 years, more than 2 years if you include the year he was in the bullpen in 2021. I mean, you know, you can't look at one game and say the hype is real, but this is what they thought when you had people saying all offseason, his teammates saying he can be one of the best pitchers in baseball when they were saying it in spring training, and everybody goes, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. I mean, they were saying it for a reason, and doing this tonight against the best team in baseball, an offense that, I mean, you only got to go back to last weekend to White Sox fans to know what they can do to baseballs, which is, you know, make them explode out of a ballpark. And Kopech shut him down, completely shut them down. He was phenomenal, and, you know, you're right. Johnny Cueto, mercy.
Well, let's talk about Kopech, and then we'll get to Cueto, because I think that just the Kopech stats need to show a little bit more of why I think this is, you know, the starting pitcher, because you're right. He looked like Michael Kopech today. These are the old stats, Kevin. Can we go back, Kevin, to the pitches from Sarah Lang, the Sarah Lang tweet. One concern of mine yesterday, or at least last Sunday, Herb, was the fact that Michael Kopech had, you know, some of the lowest velocities he had in his entire career. He had six pitches, I think, that were under 91.7 miles per hour today. Today, he was just effectively showing his velocity, consistently hitting 98, hit 100 a couple times on the ESPN gun. I don't know if that was StatCast accurate or not, but Michael Kopech looked like actual Michael Kopech today. And let's go to the called strikes and the stats. The first one you showed here, Kevin, it's the one from 5:15. It's the next stat one. And this is kind of the pitches and what we're talking about, the quality of the last time he faced the Yankees here. You can see the called strikes plus whiff percentage, you know, 29%, 25% on his curveball, 0-0 for his changeup and slider. Right, guys? Like he was really trying to just will that fastball and that curveball in the zone. And you could see over by pitch velocity, his fastball was down in that start by a full tick and a half, basically. And today, in his start, the fastball velocity was up about two whole miles per hour. It was fantastic. You saw a great mix of his fastball, his curve, and his slider, and then also his called strike plus whiff percentages today. Excellent stuff. 33% on his four-seam fastball, 43% on his slider, and 50% on his curveball. He was in the zone and unhittable. Like we said, it took until Rob Brantley, former White Sox legend, to break up the no-hitter in the sixth inning. So fantastic stuff. And you see, you know, the spin was up for Kopech today, the velocity up. All those concerns that I had last Sunday against this lineup, basically the same lineup, all just evaporate after one start, just because he looks so healthy today. He looks so violent. He looks so athletic. He looks so strong. It was really, really impressive stuff from the young starter.
And before we go on, at least I think we had a $9.99 super chat from Michael Washington. So I want to salute my man for that. But yeah, and the StatCast was right. I'm looking at Baseball Savant. They had a pitch for Michael Kopech clocked at 100.2 miles per hour tonight, and another 102. One clocked at 99.8. So, yeah, man was raring back. Had a full week off. I mean, not off, but did not pitch. He had a baby boy. I think his wife or his girlfriend had a baby boy on Friday. That's an awesome thing to have. And to see the birth of your child, your second child, must be, you know, elating. And then he came out and dominated the Yankees on national TV, as Vinny said. There's nothing more. Like, this week it has to be, like, one of the supreme weekends of his life. Probably the birth of his child is like way up there, but this performance, man, I just can't believe how well he looked today. Like, I sometimes worry about him because he runs into trouble. The pitching maturity that he has hasn't hit yet. I got mad at him at the Cubs start with the four innings, and you were like, oh, that's fine, I'm good for it. I was like, no, This is the ceiling. This is what Michael Kopech can do at his peak. He can make the Yankees look stupid. He can carry a perfect game into the sixth, seventh inning. He can do these type of things and leave the game with the one hit off of Rob Brantley's bat. White Sox great, right?
Yeah. If it was Michael Brantley, it would have been kind of,
he would have hit in the first inning and it would have been a double, too. And it would have been a home run, walk-off home run. But, yeah, I'm just shocked at how great he is. I didn't expect this. Not this early, not this year. I was expecting just growing pains. But this is one of the best pitchers in baseball right now, ERA-wise. Like,
yeah.
Did you expect this this early, Vinny?
I believe he's got the lowest opponent's batting average of any qualified starter.
That's ridiculous.
The answer is no. I don't think I did expect this. I mean, I think you knew what the stuff was going to be like, but you didn't expect the outcomes to be like this because you maybe didn't even think he was going to be going more than five innings the way they were talking about him in spring training. But it is going to be interesting. I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of management, a lot of, maybe he gets a lot of weeks between starts, full weeks between starts. That's very possible. You saw them do it last year with Carlos Rodon. It worked to great effect. Maybe they pull a similar strategy with Kopech. You're going to see them use those off days. You're going to see days when he might be pitching not quite this amazingly, but and they say, all right, six innings, that's enough for you, because they want him to be doing this kind of thing against the Yankees in October. Want him to be doing this kind of thing against whoever the National League representative is in the World Series. That's what they envision, and so they're going to make sure that he's got the gas left in the tank, so to speak, to be able to do what he did tonight all the way down the line months from now.
Shout out to Julius Eggers dropping a $5 super sticker. He said, pair character doing a classic mic drop. I have no idea what it means, but TA, with a classic shush around there.
Just like a pair character might do.
Yes, just like a pair character might do. And then also, building off of that point, Vinny, and now I completely forgot about it. This has been great. 42 innings for Michael Kopech so far. I wonder when we're going to start wondering about the innings limit, right? So, going seven innings today, longest of his career, looked fantastic. But we talked about early preseason, 125 innings, maybe 130. How are we feeling now after a couple starts with Michael Kopech? It's all been effective innings, but you're right. You want him to be doing this in October. So how do we get there with Michael Kopech? Because it feels like the more and more you see him, the more and more you want to see him, the more and more you're like, oh, well, he could pitch seven innings. So it's a tough line for Tony La Russa and this front office to have to ride here. But what are we expecting innings limits for Kopech?
Well, here's the thing. I'm sure that they have a number in mind, but I'm going to give you the answer that Tony La Russa and Ethan Katz always give, which is you watch him. You watch him. And I think tonight in that one start, it was very apparent that once he got, a guy on base or a couple guys on base there in the seventh inning, it was like, okay, maybe a little shaky. I know he kept looking at his hand. That probably is unrelated to stamina. But, right. The idea that you have to just keep your eyes on this guy. And if he's making consecutive starts, let's say in late July or early August, where it's not as smooth maybe as it has looked leading up to that, that's when you got to give him some rest. Because he's got to be ready to go past that point. You saw last year, Andrew Vaughn just run out of gas because he had not had that experience of going all the way to the end of a season. Michael Kopech has not had that either yet as a starting pitcher, certainly. And so they're going to have to keep their eyes on him and monitor start by start to figure out, what he's going to look like 5 days later or 6 days later or 7 days later. And that's how they are going to do that. I know that's not easy if you're sitting at home and you're like, all right, he's getting there. He's 20 innings away. He's 15 innings away from the limit. Don't push him anymore because that number is coming up. I don't think it's as much the number as it is what he can do. And if he's pitching like this in August without them having to do a whole lot of spacing out, they're obviously not going to let it get that far, but I'm just giving an example, then there's no need to worry in that immediate moment. I think it's just going to come down to what kind of rest can they get him with the way the schedule is set up, and does he need it? Because he is a very young, very athletic guy, and he might just, be a freak of nature who can go past what maybe that they were thinking would be a conservative estimate.
And we saw Michael do the same thing he did versus the Yankees last week, where Dylan Cease was striking guys out, struck out 11, but gave up the 6 earned runs. Michael's turned himself into more of a pitcher. He's like, let me get some early outs. I think, what, during the fifth inning, we were at 54 pitches for Michael Kopech. He understands that. He knows that I have a certain amount of pitches. I haven't gone this long in a game, and this was his longest outing of the year, or of his career, actually. So he knew that I need to do this to get to the point I need to get to, like seven innings I want to get to. And so I'm not going to be out here trying to finesse these guys. If I got guys down 2-0-2, I'm going to be trying to blow them away and get them out instead of nibble and such. So he did a great job of turning himself into a pitcher more than a thrower, because he's always probably had the high heat and can strike guys out. Today, he was a pitcher, a complete pitcher.
Well, and Pipeliner USA is saying the guy's ERA is 1.29. Why are we acting like he hasn't been excellent all season? He has been excellent. That's the point, though, is we're trying to wonder what is the sustainability, because he has been fantastic, and we know the pedigree. We know that he has this electric fastball. We know that he's been a top pitching prospect, but can he actually do it full 162? He's never been able to do that. And if he does, I mean, the White Sox have truly four elite pitchers if he can do that. So it's a really big piece of their championship window. That's why we're talking about
and
it.
And it's not like he has been going out getting seven innings each time or six innings. Well, that's a big point. Like that's what aces do. Five innings, good, nice. Six innings, awesome. Seven innings is the next level. Like this is his best start of his career. Like don't act like this is just some also-ran performance in the Bronx versus those people. This is his best start. I don't know if you can find a better White Sox start than this one. I know there's more strikeouts by Dylan Cease, but this guy, this start today was the pinnacle.
I mean, Carlos Rodon last year went.
Yeah, I'm saying this year. I didn't say last year. I said this year.
He doesn't mean all time. Yeah. Mark Burley threw a perfect game. Come on, Sean.
Yeah, I meant this year.
Not in New York. But going to the Kopech thing, through seven innings, going into the seventh inning, 67 pitches. That is incredible. And what he does in the seventh inning, slider, slider, fastball, slider, fastball, 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 slider, fastball, fastball, slider, fastball, slider, fastball. We saw in that second inning where he got into trouble with the Yankees last year, or last start, he was throwing all fastball. He was abandoning his breaking ball. This is a guy late in the seventh inning, still leaning on his breaking ball. He trusted the stuff tonight, and he got fantastic results. This is way better than anything that he's gotten. This year. I mean, this is a completely different pitcher. And if he does this, you know, the next start and the next start and the next start, the White Sox have not a problem on their hands, but just, you know, they got you know, every 5 days gets real easy planning on Tony.
They have the opposite of a problem.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You won't have to worry about the White Sox offense if this is according to this, and then it's Cease, and then it's Giolito. And by the way, Rick Giolito's in the comments too. Again, my man's. You know, and we get Lance Lynn back, and then Johnny Cueto's doing. Johnny Cueto's not going to be this, but golly, two starts.
Well, here's what I'll say about Johnny Cueto is that last week when he did that Monday in Kansas City, it was very impressive, but it was the Royals, and you didn't know what he was going to do. Then they threw him out there against the Yankees. We just did it again against the Yankees, and that's pretty impressive. I mean, this is a guy who you had no idea what he was going to give you, and it's only been two starts, obviously, but I think already you're getting way more than the White Sox could have dreamt that this is what they were going to get. No matter how much Tony La Russa talked him up before he was called up,
there is no more fifth starter debate, Sean.
Well, hold on. We'll have to have a little bit of a fifth starter debate after we pay the bills, because there is a deal that is also as great as the Johnny Cueto deal for the Chicago White Sox. The best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from a CHGO locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from a CHGO locker, all for making more than a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. I told you before I left on Thursday to bet on the Yankees money line this weekend. I'm a bad bettor. I'm sorry. Don't listen to me. Don't take my betting advice. But I did know that Tim Anderson was going to show up today, and it points bet, you know, plus 800, Tim Anderson to get three plus hits. You know, I won myself some money today. So, you know, not only is points bet going to be giving you this great CHGO deal, but they're going to be giving you the best odds each and every day. You can win money if you know baseball. And that's my favorite part about points bet. You can combine all your bets and you get to the ability to boost your odds as well. So you get the most for your money at points bet. Online signup is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish all from your phone. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life at PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And CHGO, we mentioned it. You can sign up through the PointsBet, you know, little sign-up link there. You put $50 into your PointsBet account. Use code CHGO. You get a CHGO membership that way. You can also help support CHGO by going to allchgo.com and becoming a member that way. We got 228 people currently watching right now, and it is fantastic to see all of you enjoying the free content, the free post-game shows, pre-game shows, podcasts that we give to you. But if you want to help become a member, if you want to help push CHGO even further than we can climb, and you can get premium written content from great writers like Vinny Duber, you get access into our CHGO Lounge. It's our CHGO Discord. We could talk to all of the CHGO personalities, and you get a free shirt when you sign up to become a member. You can go to allchgo.com to sign up, become a member, and help support CHGO. I kind of freestyled those ads, guys, and I'm not going to do that ever again. Yeah, no, I think you're going to take over the ad reads. I saw you do them on Thursday with Jared. You did great. I think you're going to start doing them from here on out.
No, I'm good. But yes, I will do one of them if I'll take one out of your hands. But yeah, I want to speak about that Johnny Cueto story. I know you have the whole situation set up, so you can go ahead and do it if you need to. But man, I am just thrilled that the White Sox finally have the fifth starter debate over with. And I know that, you know, we're talking about Kopech and maybe not skipping a start, but lengthening it, his rest time in between his starts. So you can have a couple more these performances. If you're going to be pitching on 6 days rest and showing this, please, let's do this again. I'll do it next Sunday again with Kopech pitching versus the Cubs on not national TV, but on local TV and dominating them.
Well, your man, Rick Giolito, was saying a seven-man rotation. I know that Tony wanted to go away from that, not really do a six-man or even a seven-man. So I would wonder if they would have to pick five starting pitchers. So that's what I'm going to have you guys do right now. Let's just say this is, Vinny, what are we assuming, you know, is Lance Lynn's return July?
Come off June. On the 9th? Was it the 6th? It's the 6th or the 9th. I'm not sure. He's eligible to come off in one of the first 10 days of June.
All right, so on June 9th, I want your five starting pitchers in the Sox rotation, be it that they not go to a six- or seven-man rotation.
Well, I'll just start by saying, and I'll answer the question, but I'll just say that I don't think it's necessarily that easy, right? And I asked Tony La Russa this. I said, you have expressed a distaste to go to a six-man rotation. What do you do when all of this is, you know, falls into place the way you guys want it to? And he basically pointed to the schedule and said, there are going to be off days. There are going to be things that we have to do with Kopech and others for that matter. He said how much he was hoping that Kopech would be back this weekend so they didn't have to pitch Cease today because he wanted that off day for Cease to get another bit of rest. I mean, there are things that they want to do that you maybe couldn't be able to do with a five-man rotation. And so I don't think it's necessarily as easy as just two of these guys get cut and that's it. You know what I mean? Like I think, I honestly think that they have some time to play with this a little bit and to take advantage of them maybe being able to keep more pitchers on the roster than they normally would in a normal season. And so we'll see what they do. I'm going to answer your question here in a second, but I just think that they might be able to get away with gathering some more data and going deeper into the season than you think with more than just five arms.
Oh, okay. I thought Herb was going to go after.
Oh,
that.
I'll give you mine. It's
all good. So, Vinny, I mean, what are your thoughts then? I mean, do you think that they need more time to figure out what they have in Velasquez or Keuchel, or you know, like is that Lance Lynn decision then going to probably knock one of those out of that race or that determination? I mean, what are your thoughts leading up to the Lance Lynn return?
Yeah, I don't think it's they need more time to figure it out. I think it's they get more time to figure it out, and you know, you can have all these guys, you know, kind of pitch in various in roles over the course of several weeks if you've got some off days in there, or you know, you want to, you got some double headers in there. Certainly the White Sox have a few more of those left on the schedule. I will say that what I've been saying, in which I think Vince Velasquez is easiest to move out of there because they were preparing him for a bullpen role before the season started, a bullpen slash starter role before the season started, and they could move him there more easily than they could do anything else. And I think that is probably the first domino you see fall, if that's what you know, the way you want to phrase it. I still don't think it's easy for anyone to pay somebody over $10 million to go away. And I think that Dallas is going to have to be really bad in order for that to happen. And there's a lot of White Sox fans who think he has been really bad. I understand that. But I think they have to see something really, really convincing, because otherwise you can take this to the end of the year and say, okay, we just won the AL Central without cutting anybody. Now it's time to pick our four or five best guys to go out and compete in the playoffs, because that's really the only time in which you need a smaller amount of starting pitchers. Now, I don't think they're going to be able to get to the end of the season just going, all right, we're going to go 1-7 every time through the rotation here. I don't think they would do that. But there's a lot that can happen, and I think that they can do a lot and shuffle some guys around and still keep everybody as an option to them as long as they would like to.
And top five rotation, it's easy. You got Lucas Giolito at the top, Cease, Lance Lynn, then you go Kopech and Johnny Cueto. Those are the five. Yes, Dallas Keuchel will probably get a spot start here or there, you know, giving Michael Kopech an extra day there too. And you know, remember, Johnny Cueto is no spring chicken, so he probably wouldn't be pitching every fifth. So yeah, I would be keeping Lucas Giolito, Dylan Cease, and Lance Lynn on regular rest. I mean, Lance Lynn less than the other two because of the injury, working him back slowly. But those other two guys, they'll be on their fifth game starting schedule. I would want them to be on that, and I hope they would want that to be on there. And we had a super chat up there from Nathan Skiba. If you go up a little bit more,
Kevin. But real quick, before we go to Nathan, just I do want to wonder, like, what do we do with Keuchel, though? Because if we move Velasquez to the bullpen, Keuchel or Cueto becomes that fifth starter. I mean, is Keuchel just there in relief? Because that it does get kind of messy on the 26-man roster, I feel.
I think it depends on what sort of rest plan they have for some of these guys. I think Lucas and Lance are going to go every fifth day as much as they can, because they're veterans. They're these routine-oriented guys, and they pitch most effectively when that's the case. I think Kopech is going to be very interesting because of the management that they have with him, and they've already expressed a desire to get Dylan a little bit more rest also. So I think he's there until it's a problem that he's there, if that makes any sense. And I'm not even talking about results. I'm talking about the way they would deploy the rest of the starting rotation. You know, we'll see. It remains to be seen. I don't think it's a pressing matter right now. I think it is something that happens a few weeks, if not a few months down the line.
All right. So the super chat from Nathan is he's wondering about in-game management, not trolling, but seriously want to know what you think about the in-game management today, gents. I didn't think too much of it. I was fine with how they, you know, let Kopech go and try to see how long he could go today. I liked even pushing Johnny Cueto a little bit as well. I was fine with most of the moves today, Herb. I don't know if you had any thoughts.
Yeah, Tony did a good job today. He pushed the right buttons. I mean, I know everybody would want of Tim to pinch hit in that first game. You know, the result was good. Eventually we won the game, but you know, here or there, moves like that didn't cost or win us the game. But Tony did a good job. I was not opposed to Johnny Cueto pitching and giving up those two hits he gave up in the seventh inning. And then you got Joe Kelly doing a fabulous job. And the absolute meme / gif of the year when he just looks back at Aaron Hicks like, what the hell are you doing? You're on second base. You got no speed. If single scores you, where are you going? Come on, man. I'm not no rookie. I think Tony did a good job. I got to give credit where it's due. Tony did a good job in game managing.
Yeah, I think really the only thing that sticks out, the only moment that sticks out, would be leaving Cueto in there that was the seventh inning, right? To start the seventh inning, or the bottom of the seventh. And I mean, you know, he didn't get anybody out. But, yeah, I mean, Joe Kelly, fantastic job, kind of bailed him out. But, again, the way he was pitching for six innings, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess it was post-Gatorade. I guess you could say that. But, you know, that's basically all it was, and it ended up working out. So.
Yeah, and then also pinch hitting wise or pinch running wise, Sheets got on in the second game. He pinch hits Engel. Engel ends up scoring, and then he pinch hit Vaughn for Sheets. Vaughn ends up walking in game one and then scoring as well. So you know, it seemed like, you know, the moves that he did make you know, in the field as well paid off. So I didn't have anything that stuck out too much from Tony's and
maybe
but hitting
maybe Vaughn. Tony knows Vaughn's proficiency of getting runs late and right, hitting well.
Ooh,
Sean.
Yeah. Ooh.
Vaughn knows clutch. Let's go talk about Andrew Vaughn, because that was a big moment that he had in game two. He singled into center, scoring Abreu, giving the Sox a 1-0 lead. But let's go to clutch Andrew Vaughn and talk about him being cool as the other side of the pillow. We talked about this after his home run off of Gregory Soto. We talked about this after his home run off Scott Barlow. This is in high leverage situations. Herb sent this over. 16 at-bats where Andrew Vaughn's been in a high leverage situation, either in a tie game, you have a one-run lead or there's the tying runs on deck. 16 at-bats in those higher leverage situations, 7 hits, a .437 average, an on-base percentage of .500, a slugging percentage of .813, and 6 RBIs. Andrew Vaughn has been clutch for the Sox this year, Herb.
It's good to see the maturation. The kid just is steady the whole time. I don't know necessarily believe in clutch. I just believe in the absence of failure. You know, maybe just stays at the same level the whole game. And so when it is close and late, he can stay at the same level and come through. He doesn't choke. So the absence of choke is, I think, is what clutch is. So Andrew Vaughn is showing in his first full year as a Major League Baseball player, our first full year of a, you know, actually being on the team, he's a champion and he should play a lot more, Sean. Not Gavin Sheets. I know he has a left-handed bat. He's done all right, but this should be the right fielder or designated hitter, no matter if there's a right-hander on the mound or a left-hander on the mound. I think Andrew Vaughn has proven himself time and time again, especially this season, that it shouldn't be an even split platoon. He should be the choice there.
So everybody watching, what, we got more than 200 people watching, right? All of
250,
those.
250, Vinny.
250 people, all of you, take a drink, because Herb just mentioned that Andrew Vaughn should play every day.
Every day.
There you go. I don't think we've had a show go by where that hasn't been mentioned. Here it is again. There you go. And also, while we're talking about Andrew Vaughn, former member of the White Sox Mustache Club, our guy, Stephen Nicholas, pointing out that Joe Kelly is now a current member of the White Sox Mustache Club. So just for everybody keeping score at home.
Joe Kelly does look good with it. Got to give respect to that.
No goggles today either. Well.
No rec specs. As a former rec spec wearer, that was hard to see. But as a current mustache wearer, that was I got what I wanted to there. So there you go.
Is it nice though?
Specs, yeah, actually,
is it a good mustache?
It's fine. I mean, I don't like judging other people's mustaches, okay. Because you got to take the risk. You got to jump in the pool, and so that's what I appreciate.
I feel like it might be early for Joe Kelly, too. I mean, let's see it, you know, maybe a week later. Maybe let's see it 2 weeks later. Let's give him some time there. But he definitely has the balls to pull it off and the chutzpah to pull it off. But, yeah, great to see Joe Kelly bounce out of that and get that, you know, good hold in game one. Talking, though, about hitting, I mean, Andrew Vaughn has been kind of the only guy that's been doing it for a bit there. But it feels like the bats are waking up here. I didn't feel like it was going to be this series, but the White Sox are now above .500. They are 21-20. We kind of talked about this, maybe mentioned it a little bit, but do we think that this is the last time the Sox team might be below .500 or around this level? Do we feel like this might be a catapult moment for the Sox here?
I mean, I think it's going to be a jumping off point, but we can play Boston Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and they can come in and grab 2 out of 3. So we'll be right back at square one. And the Cubs are playing better baseball. I know they're down this year, so it could be a tough week. I hope the White Sox take what they learned in Kansas City and New York and propel themselves to better baseball playing, because the hitting is, I think, finally there. You see A.J. Pollock starting to hit. Jose Abreu's getting a couple of those balls to drop in. Tim Anderson's been doing all year long. And Luis Robert, you know, goes in slumps like day to day, and then he hits four hits. So I think the White Sox hitting woes, for the most part, will be over. They won't be the team that's scoring 3.5 runs per game going forward, because they're way too talented for that. That's why we had the frustration there, because we know that they're not this woeful as an offensive squad. They're much better, and Tim Anderson leading the way the other day, I think he willed that team to a victory in Kansas City. Went the two walks, stole two bases, scored a bunch of runs, got two other hits. That is a leader, and now the rest of the guys are following him to the promised land.
Yeah, we'll see. I think kind of the defining aspect of the first month or so, month and a half of the season was the fact that it was up and down, right? I mean, like, they weren't bad. They weren't just, you know, they're not a last place team or anything like that, but they're middling, which obviously is well below expectations. But when you middle, you have good days and you have bad days, right? And so this was a tremendous day for the White Sox, you know, two wins in one day, obviously, but the way they did it and the stage that they did it on, the team they did it against, they can't slip. I mean, it's on them to not slip back into it. And I don't know if I agree with you in saying that, you know, oh, it looks like they're coming out of it offensively. It would be nice for them if they did, but, you know, timely hitting and hitting are two different things, as we talked about. We expected this lineup to be able to go out and pour on 6-7 runs, you know, every single day. It hasn't done that yet, and it barely did it, you know, 5 runs today, because they waited until the 8th inning to score anything. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know if they're necessarily out of the woods. The pitching has been fantastic. It's what's kept them afloat. It's what kept them afloat all year last year, if you remember, too. So if that can be a constant, more often than not, they're going to be having good days, and that's what's going to propel them back to where we expected them
to be. Sean.
Hey,
Herb. You know there is a person out of us three that picked Timothy Devon Anderson Jr. as the most valuable player this year?
Was it the guy in the tie-dye?
It was him. That guy picked him. And you know who we picked? Just dumb. We picked Luis Robert. What idiots.
What morons. He also picked Justin Verlander for his AL Cy Young. And that's like a pretty
over here just knowing baseball and stuff. Yeah, Tim Anderson, he's crushing the ball. And I when he said – when Vinny said that, I was like, yeah, Tim's good, but he's not Luis Robert. Luis Robert's no Tim Anderson. Goddamn, Tim Anderson has turned his game on, and I got on him because of the airs. His defense has turned up. I don't know what the problem was, footwork, just lackadaisical play. He has turned the defense up, too. That's why I said on Thursday was his best performance of the year all around. You know, today might, you know, trump that a little bit because of the greatness of that home run, even though the game was in hand. But, man, he has turned himself into not only an offensive performer, his defense has been par excellence.
Well, and I'll say this, too, and I think, you know, I'm not sure. I'll ding Tony La Russa a little bit for maybe kind of brushing it off when Tim does make errors or something like that. But one thing he says, which is absolutely true, is that more often than not, he plays very, very good defense. And the plays that make you go, wow, are plays that other people can't make. They're plays that other people don't make. And T.A. makes them. And he is what Tony La Russa says he is, which is more often than not, a terrific player. He said in the middle of all those errors that TA was making, you know, if it's bottom of the ninth in game 7 of the World Series, I'll take a ground ball hit to Tim Anderson every time. He's not necessarily wrong to say that. As glaring as those errors can look sometimes, way more often than not, he's playing very, very good defense over there at shortstop.
Dale Shytown saying T.A. is the damn truth. Matthew Cortese saying T.A. is a true star. And Alex saying T.A. better be the AL starting shortstop in the All-Star game. If not, he'll just, you know, go to Kevin Cash's house and, you know, hit some doubles off of him in late inning games. You know, another example of T.A. just kind of getting slighted or disrespected in some way, even if it wasn't, you know, intentional on Kevin Cash's part. But T.A. still doing some damage up against him. I want to go a little bit back to the 500 talk, because this is a team that I think is not taking advantage of the full schedule against them. They haven't had the hardest schedule, and now it's honestly going to get a little bit tougher. You do have Boston, who just beat the Mariners in Fenway. You do have the Cubs, who I guess are a little red hot. I'm not buying into that one, Herb. But you got Toronto. You're going to be in Toronto for that one. You're going to be in Tampa Bay for a three-game series. You got the Dodgers coming into town. You have the Astros coming in mid-January or mid-June. You have the Toronto coming in mid-June as well. The Angels, you're going to go back out there in late June. You got the San Francisco Giants in early June. So this is going to be a tough, kind of road heading into the All-Star break. I just wonder how we feel 21-20, if this team falls under 500, is it just because this hitting isn't coming around? Is it because the pitching isn't going to be as perfect as it has been? I mean, where are the downsides of this team still after, 41 games?
Putting together a full game offensively, I think, will be the downfall of this team. Because the pitching, you see it. You see the starters out here. They're doing the job. They're giving you quality efforts more times than not. Like, pretty much three times out of four, you're getting a quality start out of these guys now that they've started to do it. And Boston, they're hot right now. They've won five in a row. The Cubs are not world beaters. The White Sox should dominate them. But they're playing better baseball than the first time they saw them early in May. So, yeah, I don't think the White Sox are going to touch 500 anymore because they're a better team than Boston, who's now under 500. They had to get hotter than crap to be three games under 500. So I think the White Sox should take it to them this week, at least two out of three, and they should beat the Cubs at least one of those two games on the weekend. So I'm not too worried about what the White Sox fortunes are going forward, but the thing that would drag them down would be the hitting being inconsistent as it has been up to this point.
And I think the most specific thing that you can point to as what's plagued that offense is guys not hitting up to where they've been expected to hit up to. And it's about Jose Abreu, which, again, he's been doing fine lately. So he should kind of be off of the list of scorned hitters for a bit. AJ Pollock turning things around as well. But you got to get Yasmani Grandal going. You got to get Eloy Jimenez healthy and then producing, right? So you can't have Luis Robert experience these huge peaks and then huge valleys. So it's about that lineup doing what that lineup was built to do. And if that is what happens, if they can do that, then they'll be that team that everybody thought they were going to be, because the pitching has been there absolutely. They'll be one of the best teams in the American League. Their roster says that, and that's what this team was saying for the last month and a half. And everybody was, tearing their hair out saying, "Oh, I'm sick and tired of hearing how early it is." Well, you're if they turn it around now, or if they turn it around in June or July, you'll see that indeed it was early. But it comes down to that lineup, and specifically those guys who have done it before doing it again. I'd include Yoan Moncada in that group as well. So that's what it's about, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll talk about kind of the guys that maybe have been performing well, haven't been performing well, in just a second. If you want to support CHGO and help continue, help us grow, you can download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we will help you out. And in case you missed it, online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I see in the comments Moncada underproducing. We talked a little bit about Robert, just had that 14 game hit streak. Now it feels like he's in a little bit of a rut, went 0-for-4 in game two. But Pollock hitting that huge home run off Aroldis Chapman in the ninth to help give the White Sox the win in game one. It feels like Vaughn's coming out a little bit of his slump that he started. Feels like Sheets might have slipped up back into his slump after hitting two home runs in the week prior. How do we feel right now? I mean, Herb, if you have to go and say, the guys that are golden as hitters right now, TA is an obvious, but who else do you feel pretty confident right now, Sox hitter-wise?
I really feel confident in Jose Abreu. He's hitting, he's stinging the ball.
Has been all year.
Yeah, and it's not, the BABIP has not been kind to him. He's been hitting balls right to people. And that other day where he hit the ground ball double play to the second baseman and made a great play, he hit that ball like 111 miles per hour. He crushed it. If he keeps on doing this, he'll be fine. He's right there. I don't too much worry about Luis Robert because that's the nature of Luis Robert right now. He's when he's hot, you hang a slider that you thought you're going to dirt, he will hit that ball 485 feet and almost ruin the Kansas City Hall of Fame up there. If you dirt it, he'll swing at it. I don't understand why they throw any strikes to Luis Robert. It doesn't make sense to me because he hurts balls inside the zone. As far as Yoan Moncada, ooh, friends, he's coming back from an injury, so I got to give him a little bit of grace. But that first week, he had two home runs, and I was like, all right, here we go, Yoan, get up to speed. But he came up a couple times today with runners on, opportunities to get the job done. 3-0 pitch right down pipe, way ahead of the ball, way ahead, anticipating a fastball, got his fastball, hit the ball out of bounds, hit the ball to right field out of play, and then gets jammed up and pops the ball right up to the second baseman.
But the man can bunt for a double.
I forgot, bunt double. Bunt double in the first game. That was the most impressive thing I've seen in a while. I don't know. Have you ever seen that, Sean, where they take the whole infield and put it to one side? I've seen the four outfielder thing. That happened last week. But all the players were on the second base side, on the first base side of second. And then Yoan's like, all right, you're going to give me that whole side? Cool. Duke. And hit it down there so precisely.
Every at bat. Do it every at bat until they stop doing it, right?
Yes. Yes. Take your hits. Take your singles.
If they shift on you,
I would bunt all the time.
Man would be hitting higher than TA.
Yes.
We were paid enough to watch Kyle Schwarber try to swing a bat enough to see that type of shift. So, yeah, absolutely. From our days at the Score, we've seen enough of massive shifts like
and
that.
And I thought that double bunt would be, you know, the thing that lifts Yoan up. Getting on base right there, it's a relief. Sometimes, like in basketball players, all they need to see is the ball go through the hoop one time. Baseball player, a knock, no matter where it is. It's a line drive in the books. It says 2B by his name on that hit. So I thought, here we go, Yoan. Now, today was tough. And Severino's a tough pitcher, so it's not like he was going to get some crumb bum. Severino was really tough today for the White Sox in that second game.
Yeah, in the top of the eighth inning, he hit one out to the warning track, right center field, 98.5, 30 launch angle. So, you know, I mean, it was nice contact there. So I think that Moncada might have something coming soon, hopefully. But, like, the guys that I'm confident in, I agree with you and Abreu. I agree with TA. As crazy as it sounds, Leury Garcia has been having some fantastic at-bats in the month of May. I feel very confident with Leury. Andrew Vaughn's been fantastic. Moncada's been all right. Like, the two home runs have been nice. Pollock's home run has been nice. It feels like he's coming around. Grandal's been bad, though. And Robert, I know that it's, you know, very much boom or bust with him, but it does frustrate me because when you see him up against true major league pitchers like Luis Severino, who's been in the league, you know, 6+ years, know exactly his weak points. And it's just make sure that ball is a little bit out of the zone and make sure it's a breaking ball, because Luis Robert versus a major league slider that is just properly located, you're going to get some bad swings or you're going to get some bad contact. And that's my biggest concern, or at least, you know, thing I'm looking for in Robert's growth is when can he start truly understand what major league pitchers are going to try to do against him and how he can start winning those at-bats. I feel like Tim, you know, he started off that at-bat in the eighth down, worked his way back into a favorable count, and then ended up hitting that home run. Like, I want to see Robert kind of understand what pitchers might do to him and make them pay. I feel like we haven't seen that yet. But if you throw it in the strike zone, he's going to hit it, like you said, out to Kansas City's Hall of Fame out there. So, that's the White Sox offense right now. I mean, you're getting some decent performances. You're not getting them all at one time, but I did like what you saw today. You saw a lot of people on base. You saw some crowded base paths. The clutch hitting is a little bit frustrating, but I feel like that will change, especially game to game. You know, they could have a game where, you know, we'll see 12 runs or something like that. We might see an explosion too.
Luis Robert has no better person to look at than Tim Anderson, a guy that allows the ball to travel and go as deep as he can. And Luis Robert, I think, has quicker hands than Tim Anderson. So he can let the ball get as far as it can and start flicking those balls. The 102 section in guaranteed rate field, the home runs he hit early in the season, he could hit those all the time if he allows the ball and let it break. Allow a slider to break at its natural pace, and he can just throw that bat head at it, and he has enough power to get a single, to get a ball over the fence. Tim Anderson does it all the time. You saw the home run in the eighth inning. He allows the ball to get deep. He knows he has time to get his hands through the zone and get the barrel there to get it over to right field. He knows that porch in right field in New York Stadium is garbage.
It seems sacrilege to say, but it does seem that Tim Anderson would be a good Yankee. I know I shouldn't say that on a White Sox podcast.
Not anymore. Those people were chanting Jackie today after he said that's disrespectful.
Right. That's true.
That's disrespectful.
Yankee fans are
Gary Reinsdorf better come down and say, hey, man, we're ripping up that other contract. Here's some more years. He won't do that. It's not smart business.
Athletic defense at shortstop and can hit the ball like that. I mean, just take advantage of that short porch. He would just thrive in a Yankee uniform, I think.
But he should be a bigger star than he already is.
I'm guessing the Yankees have seven retired anyway, so just go ahead and there's no need to do that.
Let me go and find a Yankee fan so I can see what seven is. Oh, it's Mantle because it's on the back of the jersey. Jerks.
Exactly.
Take the name off of it.
Exactly. George Costanza's kid. George Costanza's kid was going to be named seven.
And that seems like the perfect ending point. That's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox post game. The Sox win 2 in New York. They win 2 out of 3 in a very big series and a series that got a spotlight shown on it. Just a little bit this weekend with Josh Donaldson's comments, and it was good to see Tim Anderson handle it like a professional, the professional like he is, and then go out and prove it with the bat like he always does. Tim Anderson, we always talk, Herb, a little bit about him not backing up his speak, but I think I should never say that again because we only said that about him saying they're the best team in the AL. But other than that, that man has backed up everything that he said. So I'm just gonna my mea culpa on that one.
And with Josh Donaldson, I saw Rick Giolito in the comments earlier was saying, I'm going to meet him in the parking lot.
I think every White Sox, Josh Van Donaldson should avoid any trips to Chicago, from here on out in the rest of his major league career. But we will join you tomorrow. Tomorrow we have the day off. So actually, this is going to be an interesting little week here for the CHGO White Sox podcast. So we're going to have the day off tomorrow. No show tomorrow, but we will have a pregame and postgame on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for you. The White Sox versus the Red Sox. Cease versus Pivetta. Giolito versus Hill. Velasquez versus Waka. And then on Friday, we have an episode. Or are we off on Friday, too?
Another day
off on Friday. And then we're working Saturday and Sunday as the Cubs and Sox will be taking on each other. Saturday and Sunday, Keiko versus Miley, Cueto versus Smiley. So that should be a fun one on the weekend. We'll have some joint Cubs-Sox shows, some crosstown shows, and it should be a blast this week. So we're off tomorrow. We'll be with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, off Friday, and with you Saturday and Sunday so for some crosstown baseball. But that's going to do it.
Sean, we haven't been together, all three of us, since like when Vinny went to
Kansas City,
Denver, right? In the studio?
No. Oh, really?
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
I mean, we're not going to be together until like the Toronto series the week after. We miss all each other.
Oh, because Vinny's going to be at the park.
He's going to be at the park.
It's going to be like a Power Rangers Megazord in here when we finally all three of us get back together.
Yeah.
Is that where they put the rings together?
That's Captain Planet. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Well, we'll do something.
They meet up together. That's Voltron.
Yes.
Big S.
Yeah.
Robot.
Voltron, Megazord, same principle. Yeah.
Okay.
Our dork powers will unite. I can't wait to see you guys hopefully soon. But that is Vinny Duber in the sweet Led Zeppelin shirt. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. That is Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter.
You know what my shirt is?
Wall23. No, what is it? Oski.
It is.
Oh, that is a sick shirt.
Tim Beckman.
We have this saying, Oski. Our success, knowledge, effort, energy.
The K, the knowledge. The K. Like he was introducing knowledge, and he's like, oh, it starts with a K, guys. Thanks, Tim Beckman.
And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. Again, off day tomorrow, but we will see you on Tuesday for White Sox, Red Sox. Thank you to Fleetwood Mac for their 1979 album, Tusk, for that fantastic, fantastic album. And we will talk to you on Tuesday. Go Sox.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.